Good afternoon. Today I'm going to talk about market equilibrium and spatial variability in the value of housing attributes. I guess many people here are not familiar with this kind of topics, but I hope you are going to be interested in this presentation because this paper is dealing with our real life in Knox County. Let me begin with background theories. In 1962, Alonso argued that lands diminish outward from the center of business district to offset both lower revenue and higher operating costs. It is called urban location theory. It looks pretty reasonable since we have experienced that apartment rent close to university is relatively high. However, this theory did not consider heterogeneous attributes in urban area. Because of this heterogeneity in the value of housing attribute, we can expect market segmentation, and we call it housing submarket. If housing submarkets are in equilibrium, arbitrage would minimize local variations in implicit price of housing attributes, and the differences would disappear within distinctive submarket. Strassjam, 1974, was the first research to raise the question of market segmentation due to structural and locational attributes. Duns and Jones pointed that submarket is caused by preventing the adjustment of supply and demand, and the property market is least efficient property market. We briefly looked through background economic theory. Here is the motivation of this research. Even though there exist theories about housing market equilibria, there is no empirical attempt to test market equilibrium. Based on these motivations, objective of this research is empirically the hypothesis that the market equilibrium for housing attributes are attained within to investigate spatial variability in the value of housing attributes across submarkets. Now I will talk about empirical model. We have two stages of empirical model. In the first stage, we will identify submarkets by using two-step clustering. After identifying submarkets, we will test spatial variability by Monte Carlo test from typical hedoning model of geographically weighted regression for each submarket. Talk about the details of these methods and procedures. There is consensus on how to identify the optimal number of housing submarkets. But two-step clustering shows the advantages that it does not require a priori assumption, and so it is people's other method. In the first stage, likelihood function is constructed based on Bayesian information criterion or archaic information criterion. In the second step of case, clustered groups of original observations are treated as one individual observation, and they are regrouped by agglomerative hierarchical clustering. That's why we call it two-step clustering. Now it's typical. This is typical hedonic model in GWR framework. That location information is considered integration. I, V, I is X and Y coordinate for each observation. From this specification, GWR allows coefficients to vary across space by way of a moving window regression. To assess the sensitivity of the result to the bandits, we vary the bandits from 25% to 100% of the number of observations. And we will test LM statistic for spatial autocorrelation based on GWR least squares. And finally, do Monte Carlo test for spatial variability to see equilibrium status. Let me explain the area and data set I used briefly. I built data set based on four primary GIS data. They are individual parcel, census block, group, and geographical and environmental feature data. Data were used for single-family house sales transactions between 1998 and 2002 in Knox County. It counts 23,000, approximately. From the first stage, using this data, we are going to get four submarket clusters. I named them as downtown submarket and suburban submarket and rural submarket and lastly Farragut and North Shore submarkets. I think I live in suburban submarket according to this map, even though I don't have my own house. Average sale price was $14,000 in entire study area. And the highest average in these identified four submarket is about $150,000 in Farragut and North Shore this area. In contrast, downtown submarket is lowest, below $100,000. Supply side flexibility can be measured by calculating average age of house. Average is 28 for entire study area. And the downtown is oldest, as 43 years, and Farragut and North Shore is youngest, as 20 years in average. Younger age means that housing is being supplied more sufficiently than other submarkets. Demand side flexibility is measured by percentage of residents who lived in the same house for 5 years or less as proxy. This index shows characteristic of mobility in residents for each submarket. Total average is about 3% and downtown 2%, suburban 4%, Farragut and North Shore 5%. Which means that Farragut and North Shore submarket has higher mobility in demand side. Let's look at the result. LM test shows that four submarkets should be regressed separately because this LM statistic rejected the hypothesis that all parameters are equal among the four submarkets. I also test spatial autocorrelation. This figure shows the consistency with the previous study that statistical significance of spatial autocorrelation falls as the bandwidth goes down. This is bandwidth and this is statistic. In average, all estimation, these all from the all bandwidth seem to reject null hypothesis of no spatial autocorrelation. But Ruler and Ferragut and Orsio submarkets did not have spatial autocorrelation in bandwidth in 25% of number of applications. In order to see spatial heteroscedasticity, I plotted the average values of standard error of residuals. As long as the spatial autocorrelation is significant, the spatial heteroscedasticity in all submarkets has been decreased with smaller bandwidth. So this, I'm talking about this range. However, when spatial autocorrelation is not significant, relatively greater spatial heteroscedasticity is introduced in this 25 range. This reflects the difficulty of controlling both spatial autocorrelation and spatial heteroscedasticity simultaneously. Finally, here is the result from Monte Carlo procedure from GWR estimation. Out of 11 structural variables in housing attribute, one variable varies at the 5% significance level in the Ferragut and Norcio submarket. The relative insignificance in this submarket reflects the closeness to the market equilibrium in implicit price of structural variables. The relative significance in downtown submarket, here is six variables, reflects greater deviation from market equilibrium. Those results can be explained by demand and supply flexibility as we saw previous studies, mobility of people and age of houses. The spatial variability of the local estimate of structural variables is less significant than that of neighborhood and distance variables across submarket over the different bandwidths. The spatial variability of time variable is rarely significant across submarkets over different bandwidths. These results reflect a spatially consistent time trend in housing price and small spatial variation in implicit prices of structural variables, and finally, greater spatial variation in implicit price of neighborhood and distance variables. These things implies that closeness to the market equilibrium differs by type of housing attribute, like structural variable, neighborhood variable, or distance variable, or time variables. The market for structural variables are closer to equilibria than the markets for neighborhood and distance variables. This can be explained by different degrees of supply flexibility for different housing attributes. One of the two conditions for the constant values of housing attribute or market equilibrium. For example, the flexibility of supplying a house with one more bedroom is greater than the flexibility of supplying a house that is closer to Greenway. In this research, we explored Knox County's housing market based on the theory, and we concluded that markets for housing attributes with greater degree of supply and demand flexibility are close to equilibrium. Our findings are consistent with the economic theory. That's it. Any question?
Just a quick question.
Yes.
How many observations that you use in your model, and what I understand is you use the housing
dimension. Yes. Our question was how many observations I used for this estimate and why that LM statistic is smaller than you expect, right? I don't remember. I'm sorry, I don't remember the number. But according to this, I use more than 23,000 observations. And because of we have four submarkets, so the subsamples of the each area is between, in my memory, 3,000 and 7,000 something. So, and then the Adam test. Did you say about log likelihood test or spatial correlation test? I think this is from the based on the OLS regression, not the typical GW hardening model. So this test shows just we need to regress the each submarket separately because we have, think about this. For example, we do OLS for all the observation, we have the beta of the coefficient as a coefficient. And the question is that the coefficient of the beta from the entire model is different from the each OLS model for each submarket. So actually, the log likelihood ratio 3,757 is not small because the p value is below than smaller than 0.001. I don't remember, but it was very close to zero, and the degree of freedom is. The number of degree freedom is small because it is not came from GWR, but came from the OLS. Is it clear?
Yes,
question was how can I deal the huge data set, and it happens that same location can be stored in twice and the study period. Yeah, that's true. It is very tedious work, and I spent almost three months to build this data. And sometimes there is no problem because no happening like that. But at the same time, the problem is happening. So I have to look into real data, to the real sales transition, because I have two different sources for that parcel transactions. So I have to compare. So maybe there exist errors still, but I think I did my best. Any other questions?